Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. All right. Sounds like you're awake. You're ready to go. We're going to start. We're going to sing the song called The Lord's Prayer. We've sung it before, but we're going to start by saying the Lord's Prayer. So slides are up there. So let's together, like, and don't just say the words, right? We're thinking about this is what Jesus, how Jesus taught us to pray. These are important things that we need. He knows we need them. So let's just say them to God together. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, rise to your feet. Now let's sing the Lord's Prayer. Now that you've said it, it's in there. And I know you had to read the words because they're not exactly like how we have memorized them, right? I heard that. You're like, oh, wait. All right, let's sing together.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, forgive us, as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Oh, let your kingdom come. It's yours, it's yours, oh, yours, oh, yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, oh, yours, oh, yours, forever and ever. The kingdom is yours. It's yours, it's yours,
it's yours,
oh, yours,
oh, yours,
oh, yours,
oh, yours.
The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours,
it's yours,
it's yours. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart.
Amen. God, I pray that you'll take this time. We are here, and we're here in your presence. And I get the impression that not all of us are really thinking about the fact that we are in your presence right now. And Lord, I pray that that will change us, that that'll change the way we think, that'll change the way we feel, that'll change the things we do and why we do them. God, you're here. Thank you for coming to us, for sending your Spirit to be with us forever. And so, God, I pray that you will Wake us up from our spiritual slumber that we will be alert and aware and ready for whatever you have for us. God, you are worthy. You are worthy of all glory and power and praise. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So, God, I pray that in this moment, as we're here today, that we lift your name up high. Your name is up high, and we want to give you all the glory that you deserve. So just take this time and use it in each person's life, everyone who's here, those who are maybe still coming. God, this is yours. We are yours. So, Father, just we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I did get the impression that some of you are still a little bit groggy, just a little bit sleepy maybe. So I wanna remind you of something. We're singing this song called Crowns Down. And for some context, there's going to be a day when we stand before God. There's going to be a day you stand before God. I did a funeral on Friday, and there's a man who stood before God 1 week ago Friday. And I don't know if he was ready, honestly. I didn't know him. But from what I understand, he may not have been ready. We're all going to stand before God. Most of us here, we're ready, right? I mean, you may not want to die right now. That's okay. But most of us are ready. And when we stand before God, those of us who are ready, we're going to have crowns. And this song reminds us of what we're going to do with those crowns. So I just want to remind you the biblical background of this. We are going to receive crowns from God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So think about that moment when you stand before God. What are you going to do when Jesus gives you a crown?
Enthroned in glory, my Savior King, your loving kindness has welcomed me. Though I'm unworthy of majesty, you wrap the lowly in royalty.
Jesus, what's it gonna be like?
Here at your altar to seek your face, broken and poured out without restraint, in full abandon before my
You are holy, you're holy.
and is, and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Good to think about these things. All right. Well, we have a question of the day. Do you play any musical instruments? It's not a trap. We're not going to force you to be on the worship team if you answer that question. Do you play any musical instruments? Answer that question, and kids third grade and below can head downstairs for their classes. All right. good to hear all the chatter. I hate to break up the conversations that are happening, but I'm going anyway. Most of you guys, I think, were here last Sunday. Last Sunday was pretty cool, right? At the baptism, and so just to see what God is doing, we had 6 people baptized, 5 of them really new in their faith. Just God is working in people's lives here. 11 people were added to the membership of Cornerstone. God is building his church, and it's fun to see. It's encouraging. It's kind of a fun season that we're in right now, just watching God at work in people's lives. There's excitement and energy because the Spirit of God is at work. And the people of God are cooperating with the Spirit of God. That's what's happening. You guys are, you're talking to people about your faith. Whether it's on Facebook or in person, like, I see conversations happening. One happened over Facebook, like, hey, you should come to our church. Like, God is doing a work here. And then I saw that I could come, like, yeah, I want to meet you. Whoever they were talking to. That was Lauren. So, like, God is working, and you guys are growing spiritually. God is working in us. Because it's not just about, like, new people coming, but it's about God working in us. Because as he works in us, then that becomes more attractive, and other people want to be part of that. But it's really fun to see people putting their trust in Jesus for the first time. And to see this building filling up. Last week it was full. This week maybe not quite so full. There's room for some more people here today, right? But be praying for us, because this afternoon a few of us from the leadership team are going to be meeting with the folks at St. Paul's UCC to talk about possibly, if we're too full for this place, sharing space with them instead. And they're kind of excited about it. At least the president of their leadership consistory, she's excited about it, and she wants to hopefully get everybody else excited about it too. So just pray for wisdom, because we just want what God wants. We want to be here as long as God wants us to be here, but we also don't want there ever to be a time where you can't invite people to come because there's not enough room. Like, we don't want that to be a thing. So it's fun to see what God is doing and to be part of it. You guys are all part of it. So 2 Sundays ago, we started talking about these specific promises God made to us, right? Genesis, it's all about the promise. God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you, brother. I'm going to make you into a nation. I'm going to bless everybody on the earth through you. This was a really specific promise to Abram that actually filled him with courage to do some things he may not have had courage to do otherwise. That was a promise to Abram that we get to be part in. We're under the umbrella of that blessing. But we also have very specific promises that God made to us that he wants us to latch onto, that when we latch onto God's promises, we also have courage like Abram had. So we're kind of in this, like, stepping back from the Genesis to look at some other promises in Scripture that we need to anchor ourselves to so that we can have what we need for when life hits us or when God has opportunity for us. So let's just kind of jog your memory. Anybody remember, we talked about 3 promises 2 weeks ago. That's like an eternity ago. Like, are you serious? You want me to remember 2 weeks of 14 days ago? I can't remember what I have for breakfast today. Like, I get that. But maybe some of you have a program stuffed in your Bible and you can cheat a little bit. But do you remember any of the promises, the 3 from last week? God is with us. That's the first one. God is with us. Life is going to be hard. Yeah, that's a good promise, right? And what's the third one? God is working good in whatever you're going through. Some of you do have your program in your Bible. That's good. That's not a bad thing. That's good. So yeah, these are important promises, right? All 3 of those are important. Even that middle one we could do without. Why is that middle one important? Because when life does get hard, if we don't believe that's part of life, that's going to shake our faith. We're going to say, what am I doing wrong? Or is God actually faithful? We have to hold on to that one too. Is God really good? Life can be hard and God's still good. So in the midst of all the really cool things that God is doing, like Oasis Youth Group was awesome this Thursday. He is at work in a couple of those students that I can see the Spirit working in them, giving them understanding, hunger for God, understanding of spiritual truths. It's like, oh my goodness, these are babies in faith and God is working. So I'm in the middle of all these good things, trying to keep up with God, just like trying to run as fast as I can to keep up with all that he's doing. And I'm also in a season of funerals. The last 7 weeks, I've done 3 funerals. Guys, I don't do funerals that often, maybe one a year. Like, we're a younger church. If we had a church that was 200 years old, we'd have people who've been here for 200 years and are dying, right? So we don't really have that as much here. So the funerals I'm doing are not from people in the church. They're people in the community or people connected with you guys. The first one was Sue. Sue's Aunt Ruth passed away in July. And I was there for that. 3 weeks ago, there was a grandfather who passed away in the community, and Joyce knows him, and they asked me to do that funeral because we're connected with the family and music and sports, and like it's a community thing. And then Friday night, I had a funeral of a guy who passed away suddenly, and no one expected it, and I didn't know him at all. And he was 61 years old. And he wasn't planning to die. And so I'm meeting with his fiance of 18 years, and we're talking. And at one point in the conversation, she just said, I just want to know why God takes the good ones early. That's her question. Why does God take the good ones early? Why'd he have to take him away from me? And she wasn't sounding bitter towards God, but confused. Why did this happen? And there aren't really easy answers to that question. We don't know. We don't have control. And none of us are promised even the rest of this day. None of us are promised the rest of today. We don't have a guaranteed 80 plus years. Some of us live past 100 and others don't even make it out of the womb. So, let's just like wrestle with this question. If we can't count on God to give us even an average lifespan, what can we count on him for? It's really... Yes. It's really important that we trust the right promises. Not just the promises we want God to keep, the promises he's made. The ones he actually made. Because otherwise, we will find ourselves in a crisis of faith because life isn't going to go the way we want it to all the time. And if we're banking on these promises that he hasn't made and he doesn't keep them, then we start to think God isn't faithful. And if he's not faithful, why should I follow him? We have to hold on to the right promises. God is faithful and he does keep his promises. And we talked about 3 of them already. God is with us. Jesus said, Matthew 28, surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. I'm going to be with you. He also promised in John 16, life's going to be hard. In this world, you will have trouble. But who knows the second part of that verse? Take heart, I have overcome the world. And Romans chapter 8, he promised, I'm going to work good. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So these 3 promises, they are not for everybody. They're for those who trust God. They're not for everybody. They're for those who trust God. So I ask you today, are you hanging on to those 3 promises? Are you latching on? These are true. God is faithful, because some of you are and maybe some of you aren't. But for those of you who are holding on to those promises, they make a difference, don't they? They make a difference. They give us stability. They fill us with hope. I need those promises. You guys ready for another one? You want another promise? Another one to hold on to? I told you I have 2 more, but it's going to take me 2 weeks to get through them because I just take forever. And we just really want to latch on to these things. Sorry, I did actually say that out loud, didn't I? 4th promise. God will give us all the strength we need if our focus is in the right place.
This is a conditional promise. God will give us all the strength we need if our focus is in the right place. This is a promise of strength. God offers to give us strength. He promises strength, but it is conditional. And this is one of those promises that's all over the place in the Bible. So I'm going to give you some examples so you can see where he says, I'm your strength. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you strength. And then we're going to latch on to one particular verse that I just really, really love in the Old Testament. And hopefully this will become one that maybe you hang on to and love too. But where does God promise his strength? Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You got problems, you got struggles, God is right there. He's a refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. David understood that he needed that. Flip to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, very popular verse. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything. And there's some context to that. Paul is saying, I can handle anything God brings my way. No matter what it is, I can handle it. And that's a verse we'll talk more about in home groups. We're starting home groups this week. So we'll get into that a little bit more. There's a context. It's not like everything. It's not just like whatever I want to do, I can do. But I can do everything he wants me to do. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that good news? I am with you. I will strengthen you. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all throughout. So now here's my favorite one. I love this, and we're going to dig into it. 2 Chronicles 16:9. If you got a Bible, you might want to open there. We'll look at some of the context of this one. 2 Chronicles. It's a tricky one to find. Like if you first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. What's after that? 1 Kings, 2 Kings. First Samuel, 2 Samuel. 1 Kings, 2 Kings. And then we've got the Chronicles. So this is the section of history. The ancient Israel history, Chronicles is the last. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. Okay, so this is the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, this is this nugget. It says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. How many of you have heard me read that, quote that verse before? I have loved this verse a long time. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. He's looking. And what's he looking for? People whose hearts are fully committed to him. And what's he want to do when he finds you? Give you strength. This is a promise to hold on to. The promise of strength. But it shows the condition here. If our hearts are fully committed to him, what does that mean? We'll dig into that in home groups too and talk about it some today. So remember, when we're looking at promises from the Bible, we want to figure out, okay, who was this promise originally for? What's the context? Who's this originally designed for? And then I understand that and kind of figure out, okay, does this and how does this apply to me today? Because it had an immediate application. There was something going on in Chronicles. This is history. But maybe it extends to us today too. So if you read the whole chapter of 2 Chronicles 16, you'll see that promise was given by a prophet to the king of Judah at the time. But it's actually given in the negative. Like this is a really positive verse, right? But if you read the context, it's actually negative. Basically, it's more like God is saying to this king, if you had only been committed to me, I would have been your strength. That's how it comes to the king at the time. Because at the time, Israel is in a civil war. So the 10 tribes in the north, they're attacking the 2 tribes in the south. And King Asa, king of Judah, the 2 tribes in the south, he feels outnumbered, outgunned, like 10 tribes against me. And like, we don't have enough. And so he gets scared. So he reaches out to the king of the Arameans, which are essentially an enemy nation. But they were in cahoots with the 10 tribes. So he sends them more money than the 10 tribes had sent, sends them more. He pays them off like you join our side. So they do. So he got some extra guns. They go after the 10. The 10 back off and it works. It works. But God is not pleased. 2 Chronicles 16. Let me just read some of this context. So this is right where the prophet comes to King Asa. This is not okay, brother. You didn't do it right. Verse 7, at that time, Hanani, the seer, or a prophet, he came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. Promise sounds a little different in that light. What was the problem? This king did not rely on God for deliverance. Had he trusted in God, had he looked to God as his first line of defense, God would have strengthened him against his enemy and given him the victory without the Aramean army. But since he did not look to God as his strength, instead of the promise, he gets the curse. From now on, you'll be at war. So it's a negative promise to Asa. But as he's being rebuked for his lack of faith, the rest of us are given this golden nugget of truth that God is on the lookout for people whose hearts are fully committed to him. This is what we see. This is God. This is who God is. He's looking for hearts who are committed to him. And what does he want to do? He wants to give us what we need. He wants to fill us with his strength. So does this promise apply to you? Does it apply to us? It does apply to us, but it's conditional. So it depends on the orientation of your heart, right? So we've got the cross over here. Let's just use that to represent orientation toward God. If my heart is oriented toward God, I want to live for him. I want to please him. We're singing, I will lay my crowns down at your feet. You're holy. You are the king. Your will be done. Your glory. Your name. If my heart is going that way, that's what I want. God's coming right behind me. He's going to lift me up and help me go there. But if I'm turned this way, my kingdom come, my glory, my will be done. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, help me here. God, help me there. I want to do this. I want to do that for me. No promise of strength. You're on your own. And guys, think about it. It makes sense. If he's a good father, loving father, he wants to draw near to us. This is what's best for us. Why would he answer a prayer to take us further away from him? It would make no sense at all. So this is a very logical promise. If my heart is oriented correctly and I'm healthy and I want to love God, I want to move towards God, I want to live in line with God, I want to live for his glory, his kingdom, like, of course, he's going to help us do that. He doesn't leave us high and dry for that. But if I'm going that way, I'm on my own. God loves you too much to help you go that way. But he will let you. So if God's going to give me strength and this is my heart orientation, like, what is that? What does that look like in real life? What does it look like for King Asa? For King Asa, it would have been him turning to God first. This problem happens, he turns to God. God, what do you want me to do? What do? I'm trusting you. My eyes are on you. And maybe God would have said, hey, check out the Arameans over there. Go send them some money. They'll help you out. Okay, that's fine. Or he might have said, just watch. I'll take care of this one. That happened over and over again in the Old Testament, right? So the point is, go to God first. Don't trust in something else, someone else. Go to God first. Now, you and I are probably not in that situation. You don't have people beating down your door with swords and guns and knives. Not yet. Not right now. Right? It might happen. Could happen. But that's not our situation right now. So what kind of situation do I need to call on God for help? Do I need to be facing this way and get his strength to go the right way? Like all kinds of situations, right? Just be practical, right? Relationships. Are relationships ever hard? You ever have trouble in relationships, whether it's your kids or your spouse or somebody at work or just a really good friend, and like there's something going, like, how do I make that work? If you're facing God, I want to please you. I want to love this person. This person really, really annoys me. I really can't stand them. I see some examples in your eyes. You're like, yes, I'm there. Like, okay, God, your kingdom come. How do I honor you when this situation is going on in my life? God wants to strengthen you for that, if that's the direction you want to go. God, I want to please you in this. Not I want to get equality, or I want to get even, or I want to just get away. How can I honor you? We're just going to go through a couple of things quickly here. How about physical needs? You got physical needs, like your body isn't doing what it should do, or just physical things, money things, whatever. Just if I'm facing this way, I'm not just saying, God, make life easier for me. I'm saying, God, you brought something into my life for a reason. I don't know what it is, but I want to please you in that. I want to go your direction. Like, yeah, give me some relief maybe. Like, if you, I would love for that. But you might have something else in mind for me. And I just learned this week, and I should have known this, but I did not know. There's a person I know who has near constant headaches all the time. And I've known multiple people that deal with that. I don't understand that because I don't get headaches. But I have had a headache, and it throws me down. Like, I can't imagine constant. So what is that person supposed to do? Facing this way, God, pray for healing, absolutely. Give me some relief. But if you don't, show me what you want to do with this. Help me honor you. Help me please you. Help me survive this. Help me thrive in this. Help me know what you have in mind here until you take the pain away. I debated whether I should share this or not, but I shared with a couple people. I had a momentary physical need a couple weeks ago. It was a unique situation. It was the second funeral that I did. And I had finished the memorial service, and it had gone pretty well. God gave me the strength for that, and it was tough, but it was good. And so I'm in my van waiting, and you know, we're getting ready to go to the cemetery for the burial. And so I'm sitting in the van, and there's the line. You got the thing on the roof, and like everybody's kind of getting their cars, getting ready to go. And all of a sudden, my gut flips upside down. It's like, oh no, oh no, I need to go. But I can't. Like, this is a weird illustration, right? Like, whoever talks about this, I'm like, my stomach's going crazy. And when that happens, like, you just have to take care of it, right? But I couldn't. I'm like, I'm stuck in the car. And I get to the cemetery. There's not going to be any bathrooms there. Like, so I just pray, God, I need some help right now. And my mom is texting me, hell, how's it going? I'm like, pray for me. And so she did, and I did, and we're praying. And like, okay, God, here we go. Like, so we drive to the cemetery. God settled my gut. Made it through the burial. I went to Hummel's. I ate fried chicken. I ate everything that they had. I had cake. I felt fine. Maybe this is a TMI kind of illustration, but I didn't go till the next day. That was God. I'm telling you what. I was like, God, I need your help. He can do that. He didn't have to do that. It could have been way worse. But he gave me physical strength and took care of that. He's like, I got it. I got it. Whew. Yeah, I don't know if I should have shared that or not, but it's too late now. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What does it mean to have a heart fully committed to God? Because most of you are probably thinking, it's not me. Do you have to have a perfect heart to be fully committed to him? Because if you do, then the eyes of the Lord have been ranging since the beginning of time and only found one to light upon. Nobody's heart's perfect, and God does want to give strength. So I'm pretty positive this cannot mean my heart has to be perfect. Fully committed to him means facing his direction. I want your will. I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up. But this is what I want. at least most of the time. You can have an imperfect heart that is fully committed to God. God wants to give you strength if what you're trying to do is for His name, His glory, and not your own. So think about this. Like, okay, God's name, God's glory. What is God most interested in? What does His heart beat for? What is it? What is He most passionate about? What did He give His Son to die for? Us, right? Souls, the lives of people restored to Himself. Isn't that what He's most passionate about? And those of you who are theologically minded, He's most passionate about His own glory. And I'm not going to argue with you there. That's true too. But a big piece of that is people coming to Him and giving Him glory and giving Him praise because He's worthy of it. That's God's heart. Souls restored to relationship with Him. Are you aware that we're in the middle of a battle? An intense spiritual battle? And there's an enemy. So this is what God wants people restored to Him. There's an enemy who's trying to, his hardest to do the opposite, to pull people away from God, facing that direction, anything that way, just not that. It's a battle that we're in, and some of us kind of sleep through it like, I don't even realize, but there is a battle. And the end goal of that battle is not your personal comfort. It's not. That's not how battles work. The end result is people's lives change, and you and I are in the battle. We get to have a part in the great battle. That's what we need courage for. That's what we need strength for. I want to be part of seeing people move towards God. That's not just for pastors. It's for any one of us. So if I want to be part of that, probably going to have to engage with people on a spiritual level. I'm probably going to have conversations with people about God, about spiritual things. So this is like my heart orientation is going to make me willing to talk to people about God. And I understand this, I don't know, maybe this is one of my hobby horses, but I think most Christians feel a little bit intimidated about that, a little nervous about having spiritual conversations with people who don't know Jesus. Anybody feel nervous about that? I'm the only one. Yeah, I don't believe any one of you. But we feel insufficient. We feel inadequate. We feel like we don't know enough. We feel like it's somebody else's job. But it's not. It's our job. This is part of like your kingdom come, your will be done. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise. So we try to make it simple around here. It's not complicated, and don't want to put a whole bunch of pressure on you. Just like, what does it mean to do this, to be part of that, to share Jesus with people? And for if you've been around for a while, maybe this is going to be repeat. But I want to share Jesus with people, and that's part of what God wants to strengthen me for. So if you want to share, just making it real simple. Sharing Jesus involves sharing three different things. Three different things, not one. First involves sharing yourself. You want to share Jesus with people, you got to share yourself. I can't share my Savior with anybody if I don't share myself with them. I mean, I could drop tracks and people can get that maybe, but if I want to be part of it, I got to share myself. I got to give people my time. I got to give them my ear. I got to listen to people. I got to make them a priority. One of our folks is not here this weekend. He's spending a weekend with some guy friends, and he said, please pray for me. God give me courage because I want to have conversations with them. You got to give yourself. He's given himself to these people. Ethan and I were on the Kutztown Bypass a couple weeks ago, and we're heading home from Reading, and the other side of the traffic coming the other way, there was a broken down car. And we just kind of noticed that there were all kinds of different colors on that car. It had been an accident, so all the panels were different colors. So we just kind of noticed that, like, whew, a little bit of a beater. Kept on going. The next day, Ann and I drive past the same car. And this time, somebody's out there trying to push it up onto a U-Haul dolly. One guy. You ever try to push a car before? It's hard enough to push it flat. Up a dolly, we're like, there's no way. Huh? You tried? It takes more than one. So we had some extra times. We're like, you know what? I cleared it with her. Like, is this okay with you? So we turn around. We pull up behind the guy. Like, hey, do you need some help? And we didn't get abducted. We didn't get killed. Like, nothing like that happened. He didn't pull a knife on us. Like, he was a legitimate guy trying to actually get his car up on a dolly. I know we have those fears. I know. Doesn't always happen that way. Maybe some people die doing that, but most people don't. So we try, and in spite of our bulk and brawn, even the three of us could not get it up on that dolly. So I'm like, what are we going to do? So I make a couple of calls. A couple people I know live locally, Rick, Jake, like, guys, hey. And they happen to be free. They happen to be available. They came right out. And together, the five of us got it up on that dolly. We shared ourselves. Could have very easily just driven on home. Boy, he's never going to get it up there. Drive home. You remember that? We had time. And we helped him out. And you know what, guys? Honestly, I was just going to leave it at that. We shined the light of Jesus, but we didn't tell him about the light of Jesus. But thankfully, didn't get permission to share this, but my man Rick was ready. So we're done, and he's like, thank you, thank you. Rick goes back to his car. Like, I thought I was going to leave. He comes back out from his car. He's got some stuff in his hand. And I knew what he had in his hand, because I know him. He had an invitation card to Cornerstone, and he had a gift card for some food. You drive a car like that, probably could use some food maybe. So he just gave it to him. He took the next step. He was more ready than I was. He gave himself. But if we want to give our, we want to give ourselves, we also want to give our stuff. Like that kind of gift card, like a little bit of extra. Like, people have needs. We can help. We can help meet the need. Why not? God calls us to generosity. And a generous way of living is a whole lot more fulfilling than a stingy way of living. Like, if I can help, I help. And we can't always help. We can't help everybody, right? But I'll tell you what. Like, there's multiple people that came to my mind as I'm preparing this. Like, Nate Burns. He's a generous guy. He doesn't have a lot, but he gives what he has. He's more generous than I am.
I'm really generous, too.
No, he's just a generous guy. So we can't help everybody. And I don't stop every time I see somebody on the side of the road. We can't do it all the time. But we can do it sometimes. And I do want to make you aware, if we're helping people, we give our stuff, like, maybe you know of a need that this is beyond my ability to help. We actually have a fund at the church. We can help people. So if you're like, I really feel called to help, but I don't quite have what, like, reach out to us. We have a fund to do that. And it gets used. Some of you know about it and use it. For, sometimes for yourself, sometimes for other people. It's what it's there for. So we want to share Jesus, we share ourselves, we share our stuff. But not only those things, we got to take it the next step. We want to share Jesus, we've got to get to the gospel. Right? We've got to get to the gospel. We want to help with immediate needs, we want to help with personal needs, but that's how we love people. But I want to help with their spiritual need too. Their eternal need. And the gospel is how we do that. People don't need just a push up a ramp to get their car strapped in. They need more than that. They need to know not just that we love them, but that God loves them. They need to know what Jesus did for them. They need to understand why they need him. That their relationship with God has been broken by sin. People don't know that. Most of the people at the funeral that I did on Friday believe that everybody goes to heaven. Most people believe that. It's not true. We have the truth. It's in God's word. It's not because we own the truth, because God has told us what's true. Anybody can have this. But my relationship with God is broken by sin, and Jesus is the only one that can fix that. The good news of the gospel is that we can be forgiven of any sin and every sin we've ever done. From the smallest to the biggest, because Jesus' sacrifice was enough for that. Enough to cover your sin, my sin, everybody's sin. But his death only applies to us if we trust him for it. Romans chapter 10, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Guys, that is the most significant "you have not because you ask not" that anyone will ever experience. If you don't come to God in humility and ask his forgiveness, you won't have his forgiveness. But he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He will forgive us 100%. And people need to know that God really loves them that much. People think they're too far gone. Either they believe everybody goes to heaven, or they believe there's no chance for them at all. They need to know forgiveness is significant. God's love for them is that much that he wants to forgive them too. Just got to trust and ask. And I know we feel inadequate to get it right. So, like, we've got these booklets downstairs. This is one of my favorites, so we buy a bunch of them and have them available. If you have a conversation with somebody, have one of these available. Or get one and give it to them later. Be like, you know what? Maybe what I said didn't cover all the bases. Maybe it didn't make any sense. But this makes sense. So you have a conversation, give them one of these. Let's talk about it more later. These are free. Take them. Take them. Put them in random places where you'll find them when you need them. And put your name and number on the back. We want to live with courage and love. We want to share ourselves, our stuff, and the gospel with people God brings into our lives. And that's one significant way our heart can be oriented towards God's kingdom, God's glory. Genesis 14, Abram courageously went after these physical hostages, his nephew and others who were held hostage by an enemy army. He rescued them. He went after them with courage, trusting in the promises. We've got spiritual hostages in our lives too. Spiritual hostages. By the power of God, they can be rescued. And God is doing that among us right now. So you think about that, like, I want to do that. But also don't think about it as this burden of pressure, because this mission that God gave us, he said, I want to strengthen you for this. I want to strengthen you. He will give us what we need. It isn't all sitting on your shoulders. If you don't do it, nobody will, and everybody's going to go to hell because you didn't share Jesus with them. Like, it's not that. It's joining the army. Like, I want to be part of this battle, and God is going to use me to be part of this. So, like, to try to take some of the pressure off, but to keep it in front, we have this thing called pi squared, and maybe you've heard about it, maybe you haven't. Pi squared is just a way to keep it going, keep focused on that spiritual battle without being overwhelmed by it. And so, okay, what's pi squared? It stands for pray, invest, invite. So, okay, most of you know that, but we forget, right? We forget. So it's for those of you who don't know, this is just a simple way. Pick a few people you care about, you want to spend eternity with, and start praying for them every single day. Every single day. And you can say pray, invest, invite, but who are you praying for every single day? Do you have people? I hope you do. Those are the people. Invest in them, right? You're praying for them every day. You're sending them a text message like once a week or something, trying to stay connected. Invite them to do something. This is invest. They matter. I care about them, so they're part of my life. And then as you do that, you're saying, okay, God, you want to use me? You want to use me to have a spiritual conversation? You can use me. I'm ready. I'm willing. And maybe you'll use somebody else too. But as you do that, you pray, you invest, and you start asking God, you'll be surprised what he does. You don't have to be some kind of professional. You don't have to know all the answers. You just have to know Jesus. And he will use you. He can speak through you. If he forgave you, he can speak through you. We sent a whole bunch of students to summer camp, right? A few weeks ago in July. And guys, I was so encouraged to hear all the ways that God was working in people's lives through that. Like, there's a lot of different things God did. But one of them just kind of shocked me. One of the guys, he's one of our Oasis students, and he's barely coming to understand the gospel. But he felt like, I need to share this. So, like, the day after he came home from camp, he shared the gospel with one of his friends, and his friend became a Christian. Just like that. Like, pfft. How come I can't do that? The moral of the story is you don't have to wait till you have all the answers. Share what you have. Share what you know. God might just use you to change somebody's forever. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So I've been talking a lot about sharing Jesus because that's a big part of who we are as God's people. But sharing Jesus is not the only way we live for God's kingdom, right? We could have a whole series on that. I'm not going to do that. But I do want to just brainstorm a little bit besides sharing Jesus with people. It's an important one, but what are some other ones? What are some other ways that we can live for God's kingdom? And just kind of a little brainstorm, and you can add to it if you want to, but pursue friendship. You got some blanks here if you want to pursue friendship. God made us for friendships. You can be serving God's kingdom by pursuing friendship with somebody here, somebody in your neighborhood, just pursuing friendship because that is part of what God wants for us. He wants to be connected. Part of why we have home groups, so that you can build those relationships. Pursue friendship with somebody. How about this? Practice hospitality. Open up your house. Invite somebody in. I'm hearing about more and more of that happening here. Going to have these people over. I got to go over to there. Like, just game night, dinner, whatever. Bring people into your home. You don't have to own a mansion, guys. You can have it a studio apartment. Somebody can come over. It's not about impressing. It's about loving. Choose to serve. There's so many ways that we can serve. We got a lot of kids in our church. Maybe you like kids. Like, you could offer to watch somebody's kids. Give them a break. Random time or specific time. Maybe you're handy. You can offer to help somebody. Help somebody with skills that you have that they don't. I don't have a lot of handy skills, so there's all kinds of ways people can serve me. That's true of other people too. But we got some handy people here too, right? How about this one? Give encouragement. When was the last time you got an encouraging note from somebody or a text message that was just saying, hey, I noticed this. Just want to encourage you. When was the last time you sent one? When was the last time you got one? Guys, our words have power. Use them for His kingdom. We can. It's not that hard. We just have to think about it. Be a mentor. Be a mentor. Now, this is only for those who are seminary trained, who are pastors or elders. Okay, so if you're one of those, then you can be a mentor. Is that true? Nah, I'm glad you're laughing. Anybody can be a mentor. If you know Jesus, then somebody who doesn't can learn from you. You don't have to know much. Just invest in somebody spiritually. Somebody who wants to grow, come alongside them. Be part of it. And maybe you're thinking, well, I need a mentor. Yeah, that's true too. Of everyone, including myself. We need a mentor, and we can be mentored. Be aware of that. Look for, okay, God, ask God for that. Give me a mentor and put somebody in my life that I can invest in. That's significant. Serve in formal ministries. There's a lot of formal ministries. Sometimes this slide rotation goes, hey, you want to help with the music? Hey, do you want to help with the kids? Hey, do you want to help with this? Help with that? Help with the sound system? There's a lot of ways you can do formal ministry, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, too. Right? And when you volunteer to help out with something you have interest in, you take part of the burden and you make it lighter. Some of you guys do things that serve me and make the burden lighter for me. It's a huge blessing. They say that most churches, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It doesn't have to be that way. I don't think it's that way here. But look for that. Look for how can I serve? I debated whether I should share this, and I'm going to. We have an all-star servant among us who doesn't like to be talked about. And this individual is here on a Sunday more than I am. 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. And he gives in so many ways, and he doesn't want me to talk about it, and that's why I didn't ask permission. He serves as a deacon. He opens his home to other people on a regular basis. He's here every single Sunday. He's a home group leader, church treasurer, manages our website, live stream, and anything that breaks around here, he fixes. And he's an introvert. And he doesn't get paid. Sounds like a full-time job for an extrovert. And I'm not bringing this up because he's complaining about it. He's not. He has an amazing attitude. The reason I'm bringing it up is because I think he's been doing that for long enough. He doesn't have to do everything. And some of those things, some of us can do. Right? And sometimes it's a matter of not knowing. Sometimes it's a matter of, somebody else will do it. Right? So if you're on the side where I'm not really doing a whole lot, there are some things you can do that could make a difference for somebody else. We can share the load. And it is refreshing. I had a meeting with some new folks in the church a couple weeks ago, and they brought the question, like, how can we serve? Like, do you know how often that question is asked me? I don't remember. It's not often. That doesn't mean people aren't serving. They are. And we have some really good servants here in this church. But we help each other. We do the work together. We're serving His kingdom. This isn't for me, for this church. This is for His kingdom, His glory. So where God wants you to serve, it may have nothing to do with this church. It may have to do with another circle that you're in, at work or some other situation. It may have to do with Cornerstone, it may not. Because God's kingdom is pretty big. But if you want to go this way, if you want to get the strength that God wants to offer you, jump in with both feet. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have two choices. You have two choices. You can say, I'm going to live for your kingdom. And you got to help me because my heart's not consistent, but this is what I want to do. You will have God's strength. Or you can go this way and serve your kingdom and your glory and your needs and your comfort, and you're on your own. I've made my choice. This is where I want to go. And I know many of you have too. But this is the time to think about, which way am I facing? And what's it going to look like? I want the strength of God in my life, and I have it. He is coming alongside of me with these funerals that I've got and different things that kind of feel overwhelming sometimes. Okay, God, let your kingdom come. Give me strength for it. Or sometimes He just takes the gas off the pedal and be like, you know what? We need to cancel that. We need to cancel that. And He just takes things away. Like, okay, we're not going to do that. But, like, just take a minute right now. What is God doing in your life, and where does He want you? But that prayer, that promise, I want that for me. And if you want that for you, there's a condition. So take a minute with God. Do I want to operate under that condition? The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Just take a minute, and then we will close. Pray together. God, I am convinced that You are in the process of awakening our hearts more and more to You, to who You are, to
how high and wide and long and deep your love is for us, and awakening us to spiritual realities and spiritual truths and eternal realities and eternal truths. So God, just wake us up a little bit more, and I pray that we will not turn away from you, but turn towards you fully, that we may experience your strength, divine power to demolish strongholds, to see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. How about if we rise to our feet and sing about our good and gracious King?
Approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. Oh, oh, you get to me your strength. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Over. they sing, holy.
Gracious King. Have a seat. Shannon, come on up.
Good morning. A couple things before we dismiss today. If you're new or newer or aren't getting emails or want to share a prayer request or want to tell us how old you are, you can fill out this little slip right here on your program and tear it off, and it goes in the offering box that we keep in the back of the church. That'll get you connected if you are interested. P&Nate shared a bunch of different ways that if you've been thinking about getting involved or serving, you can share that on here and start that conversation. So, another thing, today is the last day to nominate men for deacon. And the slips are downstairs on the information table in the basement. So if you're interested in doing that, please do so today as they close today. We also have the Church Ramp Project coming up. The dates have been chosen for that, September 25th, 26th, and 27th. So if you haven't already expressed interest in helping out in a physical way or just a moral support way, whatever way you'd like, talk to P&Nate or Gavin, and they are heading up that project. And then lastly, this week, home groups are starting. So first one kicks off today, the Sunday group. Monday group is at 6:30, and Tuesday group is also at 6:30. So if you want to get connected outside of a Sunday, that's a great way to do so, meet new people. We have three groups starting this semester, so that's exciting. And if you want more information, you can talk to P&Nate. Jake leads one, Rick leads one, both the Ricks, like lots of people. So get connected, and we hope to see you during the week. Have a great week, and snack and fellowship downstairs.